This audio comes to you from the Science of Mind archives.
A Silamar is an experience. It is a personal experience. The classes are offered that they are instructive, that each and every one of us may really feel that in leaving a Silamar, we have learned. Each speaker is an instructor, offering you techniques and ways and means in which you may incorporate science of mind in your personal life and enlarge your understanding. Our first speaker today is the author of the book, Questions Jesus Asked, and you may obtain this at the bookstore that is open. He's a wonderful person and makes a beautiful contribution to Religious Science International. His mind is alert. He's dedicated in his field. His subject is Mind in Action. Let's welcome Reverend Kennedy Schultz, Minister of the Church of Religious Science in Atlanta.
Thank you all very much. You see, this year I brought my fan club. We have either 21 or 23 people from Atlanta. I don't know. I haven't been able to get a count. There's supposed to be 23. That's good. Stand up. There's supposed to be 23, but I've only counted 21 because I think two have been off at the dunes somewhere. Now, I want to start today by telling you a wonderful story that I heard. It's about this Irishman, Paddy, that found himself in the middle of... I know it's been told before, but I want you to get the real meaning of it. No, today I will stick to the topic, because that's another novel approach I can take. And the theme for this morning is a new beginning in personal finances, and the title of my talk is Mind in Action. Now, the reason the title of my talk is Mind in Action is because I did, up until a few hours before I left Atlanta, when I got the program, I thought I was speaking on tomorrow's subject, which was governed solely by universal laws. And when I got the topic, and that's what I thought it was, like a good student, I went to the glossary of the textbook and I looked up universal law and it said mind in action. And I said, I'm going to get that before anybody else does. So, when I got the booklet, I saw that I was speaking on a new beginning in personal finances. And, you know, I could have had a wonderful title, like a Diller, a Dollar, a 10 o'clock scholar or something. Mind in Action. So I was perplexed until I realized that Mind in Action was a very appropriate title for this. Mind in Action is a very appropriate title for about anything because money is mind in action. Money is mind in action because money is a creative idea. That's right. Money is mind's way of expressing its power, its beauty, its glory, its fullness in the life of the individual. That's what money is. And you and I are created entirely for the purpose of expressing life abundantly. That is the only thing we are created for. The only thing. And that's the only thing we have in common. We are created entirely for the purpose of expressing life abundantly, and money is the commodity that we have invented to fulfill this divine purpose. Now, Ralph Waldo Emerson, writing in his essay, The Conduct of Life, says this wonderful thing. He says, every individual is by constitution expensive and needs to be rich. Every individual, by constitution, is expensive and therefore, that's the exact quote, needs to be rich. And so when I think of myself and money, I change that around a little bit and I affirm I am a valuable being involved in an expensive life experience and I must be rich. All right? Now, I happen to be rich. I am rich. Yeah. As a matter of fact, if I were not rich and could not stand before you and say, I am a rich man, if I couldn't do that, I would not have accepted this topic today because I firmly believe that we have no right to speak on a topic that we cannot demonstrate. Not in this teaching. Yeah. And if you listened to me, you'd be a bigger fool than I would be to speak on it. It would be like wheeling me out here in an iron lung to give you a wonderful lecture on the joy of physical fitness. or maybe bringing in Elizabeth Taylor for a Monday evening program on making marriage work. I speak with authority on this subject because I am rich. Now, there are many people in this auditorium who have more money in their lives and flowing through their lives than I do, and I bless you for that. And you people might look at my financial statement and say, huh, he thinks he's rich. He's not rich. But you would be wrong because I am rich. I am rich because I am a person who, for the most part, always has more than enough money to do anything I want to do, when I want to do it, the way I want to do it, and with whom I want to do it. More money than that I do not need at any given time, and more money than that would get me in serious trouble. Yeah. I am rich because I am never deterred, never, and seldom delayed from fulfilling the things I clearly want to do for lack of money. And that's why I'm never caught up in the demeaning pursuit of the buck. I am not interested in pursuing money. I am interested in pursuing great, new, creative, rich, abundant ideas to fulfill myself through. And I know, absolutely, and I've proved it 1,000 times over, that as I achieve a clear understanding of what it is I want, and a warm enthusiasm for that idea before the fact, as I do that, all the money, more than all the money I need, comes to me easily. Now, I'm talking about developing a warm enthusiasm for my abundant interests before the fact. You cannot be one of these people that is going to be happy when, or will never be happy till, and ever have anything. When anybody says to me, oh, I'll never be happy till such and such, I think to myself, you're never going to be happy. And they never are. They're always striving. They're living life like the donkey with the carrot in front. Never get it. And most of the world lives that way. We do not live that way. We learn not to live that way. All right, I'm rich, and I love it, and I love to talk about money. And it's exactly what I'm going to do, despite the fact that I know it makes people very nervous to talk about money. It does, you know. Extremely nervous. Whenever I come into a room and say, I'm going to talk about money, I can tell. Because I can look at and I can see your eyes and they light up. They're interested and even excited, but with an overlay of wariness in it. Because they think in the back of their mind, all right, when's he going to try to get mine? Yeah. That's right. We will have no clothesline strung across the room. Yeah. No baskets will be passed, not by me, you know. I am not interested in your money. I already have from you what I'm interested in getting from you, your attention. And you see, your attention is the most valuable gift that you can give me. I need your attention. And I have it. And my attention is the most valuable gift I can give you. And you have it. And what we are doing by giving each other this precious, alert attention is, right now, creating a new abundance in the life of every single one of us. Because the moment we move in mind to a higher idea of money or everything, anything else, at that moment, the creative process is in full swing in, as, and through every one of us. So that's what we're doing. Now, you see, money is one of the two things that people think about the most and understand the least. The other one is sex. Right. Money and sex. Money and sex. We think about it all the time, but it's not polite to talk about too much. Too much. Yeah. Money and sex. When we're not getting enough of either, we're depressed and rejected and feel the world is passing us by. And when we're getting too much of either, we are anxious and suspicious and sure somebody's going to try to take it away from us. Money and sex. Sex and money. Cause of more mental confusion and emotional distress than anything else in the world, and leads to more wasted time, more broken hearts, more spoiled lives, more pain, crime, and general cussedness than anything else you can think of. Yeah. Probably coming out of the false belief that they are basic to our security, money and sex. There is a widespread belief that if you can become rich and alluring, you are secure. Yeah. Which means, of course, if you feel poor and potty, you're insecure. And insecurity is the breeding grounds of insanity. Yeah. Have you ever wondered why the rich and alluring go through as much sheer hell as anybody else? They do. Read the papers. They're knocking themselves off right and left. Yeah. All right. Now, to the disappointment of those of you who don't know me, and to the great relief of those of you who do, I am going to abandon the subject of sex. It's not my topic. Now, if you really need to have something on that subject, Dr. Tolliver is speaking Friday morning. It's not his subject either. That never stopped him before. All right, now, work with this idea. The rich are not rich because they have money. They are rich, they have money because they are rich. The rich are not rich because they have money. They have money because they are rich. Their consciousness abounds with ideas that demand fulfillment, and mind satisfies what it creates. It's the only intelligent thing for mind to do. Yeah. They are more impressed with the things they want than the reasons why they can't get them. That's right. The rich are not rich because they have money. They have money because they are rich. And the poor are not poor because they lack money. They lack money because they are poor. They have a poor impression of themselves. They have a poor view of their prospects. And they will never get rich until they get over it. Never, no matter what you do. Now, for years and years and years, well-meaning people, and some not so well-meaning, have been trying to bind up the wounds of the poor by giving them money. You cannot make the poor rich by giving them money. It can't be done. What you can do, and do, is make them channels for the flow of the money back to the rich. That's right. And it's happening all the time. We call it welfare. All right. Now, a new beginning in personal finances starts with a new realization of what money is. You start every new process with a new realization of what money is. And money is, you'll find many definitions. This is mine for the moment. Money is a physical commodity produced by a mental activity. That's all it is. It is a physical commodity which is produced by a mental activity. It is not produced by hard work. It is not produced by hard work. The only thing that hard work produces is fatigue. Yeah. You see, most of the poor people of the world are hard-working people. They really are. They are not lazy, they're just exhausted. Yes. It's fashionable to think of the have-nots as being lazy. It is not so. And when I'm talking about the poor of the world, I'm not talking about only about the ones living down on welfare row. I'm talking about anybody who spends their lives going to jobs they don't like, beating their brains out to earn money, and never reaching the point where they have enough money to do what they want to do, when they want to do it, how they want to do it, and with whom. That's poor. That's poor no matter how much currency is passing through your life. That's poor. All right. It is a physical commodity produced by a mental activity, and it is also not produced by worry, stress, or strain. The only people think that they're doing something when they're worrying about their finances. The only thing that worry produces is mental anguish and inefficient living. Yeah. You recall some time ago, we had an air traffic controllers strike. And they said the reason they had to have more money was because they were under severe stress. As if getting a raise would take the stress away. Well, that made me very nervous. Here I have all these people under severe stress up in the tower. It's like going to a brain surgeon and having him say, I'm going to charge you $50,000 instead of $25,000 because I'm so nervous when I do this operation. I wouldn't hire them to mow my lawn, let alone give them a raise. Yeah. They don't need more money. They need a doctor. Or they need another job. Yeah. Stress. Absolutely not. Now, money, a physical commodity produced by a mental activity and not produced by virtuous living. It is not God's reward for being nice. Most of the poor people in the world are very nice and very decent people. So are most of the rich, by the way. There is such a confusion in this area because there's this working belief that there is some virtue in poverty. You hear it all the time. People will say, well, so-and-so might have a lot of money, but I'd just rather live a good life and be happy. You can do both, you know. You know. Oh, yeah. I can be deliriously happy with money. I have no trouble at all with that. Yeah. No virtue in poverty. Poverty is a mental illness. It is a mental illness. Now, why do we think there's some virtue in poverty? Because we have for some centuries been laboring under a very idiotic theological system that has implied it. And you'll hear people frequently quote that old standard, money is the root of all evil. First of all, it doesn't say it. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. And if you have any kind of open-mindedness at all, you can realize they are talking about love as lust. Lusting after money is the root of all evil. Lusting after anything is. You know, there's a difference between lust and desire. Desire knows it's going to get it, and lust doesn't think it will. That's why it has to pursue it all the time. And all that heavy breathing. And then it's very popular to think that Jesus was poor, born in a manger, poor little thing. Yeah. Most of us today would be better off born in a manger than in a hospital. Everybody knows that. Born in a manger, he was not poor. You know why he wasn't poor? Because, read it very carefully, the whole life, everything about him, he was always able to do whatever he wanted to do, when he wanted to do it, forthwith, with the people he wanted to do it with. When his disciples said to him, Master, let's go up to Galilee, he didn't say, oh, I don't think I can now. I'm waiting for my Christmas bonus. In the textbook, Dr. Holmes talking about treatment as a form of affirmative, declarative prayer, says that Jesus always prayed that way. The only time he ever made a petitionary prayer was in the Garden of Gethsemane when he said, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from my lips. And you see what he got for that. Maybe if he had said, I live and rise above all obstacles, the whole course of history would have been different. All right. No virtue in poverty. It's a mental illness. Now, a physical commodity, that's what it is, produced by a mental activity. So, what do we want to do? We want to initiate a new mental activity. And how do we do that? We do it, of course, in religious science by treatment. That's the only way that we use to initiate a new mental activity. So the first and foremost thing to involve ourselves in, when we are interested in a new beginning in personal finances, is to involve it in our regular treatment work. It does little good to wait until you're up, the bank note is due, the house note is due, and this, oh God, I'm going to treat, you know. That's just like waiting until you're gasping your last breath and start to treat for complete health. Most people do that. All right? Yeah. It's much easier to stay rich than to get rich. It's much easier to stay healthy than to get healthy. It's much easier to grow in an essential wealth than it is to start from nothing. But if that's where you are, that is where you have to start. From wherever it is you are. Because many people say, oh, this is wonderful. I'm going to really work all this stuff for getting wealthy as soon as I get some money. Oh, God, it's what makes ministers despair. It really is. Because, you see, people have the idea that although they are not handling a small amount of money well, they can handle a fortune well. And it's not true. Because your wisdom does not grow by the inflow of money. As a matter of fact, you get very foolish with it. No, you have to start wherever you are. So what's a good tree? Well, I'll go back to what I said before. I am a valuable being, a valuable, how do you like that? I am a valuable being involved in an expensive life activity, and I must be rich. Because the all-powerful mind, the all-intelligent mind that put me in this position cannot have put me in this position without intending for me to fulfill myself through this position. Therefore, all of my desires, which are also God-given, have within them the means to their fulfillment, and the means for their fulfillment in many cases involves money. I'm open and receptive to it, and I don't have to be afraid of it being shut off from me. You work that way. All right. Now, you can go to your own minister or practitioner and learn treatment just as effective as that. You can even get down to business and design your own and learn treatment even more effective than that, you know. But Dr. Kasteloff, speaking the other day, made a very wonderful point, and I think we need to address it here. She said we have to watch out what we do between treatments. We have to watch what we do between treatments because, you see, most of my students or people that I see don't have any difficulty giving treatments. And the reason their problems don't clear isn't because they didn't do the treatment right. It's because they spent the rest of the day undoing it. Undoing it. Yeah. You see, the soul is witness to the act. If you like, the subconscious mind is witness to the act as well as to the word, you see. So you can give the most loquacious treatment you want. And if you immediately walk out the door and do not be careful not to get involved with all sorts of your regular negative nonsense, the soul, subconscious mind, also sees that, calculates it, and lets it be so. Absolutely. Yeah. You have to, you don't have to do anything. But it would be a good idea if you're really interested in growing in personal finances. Oh, the yellow light's on. He owes me 7 minutes from last year. The soul is witness to the act. Yeah. And all the, unless we can act happily regarding our finances, it doesn't make any difference what exalted words we say. All the pious mouthing of treatment in the world are in vain until we can put our money where our mouth is and smile. And smile. All right. Quickly. Because the red light's coming on soon and then he comes out with the green pants. All right. Here's some ground rules for what you do in between. Now, if you can't follow them when you hear them, you say, I just can't do that, don't tell me about it. Just don't do it. Stay like you are. You'll have lots of company, and you will have gotten something from this talk. You will find out why you are like you are, and then you won't have to go to your minister and ask anymore. All right, all right. So I just can't do it. All right? One, pay your way or don't go. Pay your way or don't go. Resolve to pay for everything you use happily. And if you have to force the smile to begin with, force the smile to begin with. You need to get out of this operative consciousness of looking for something for nothing, looking for bargains, quibbling over prices. I don't care what you say in the morning. If you go out pick, 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 pick like this, the mind is witness to the soul and knows you don't believe it and don't and interprets it as you don't want it. Now, that means paying your light bill, gas bill, electric bill, phone bill without cursing the public utilities. Now, I know it's very popular to attack them as corporate giants that are unfeeling, and maybe they are, and maybe there's something wrong with them, and if there is, there's a way to do something about it, but if you're using it, pay for it. You know. That's right. If you're not going to pay for it, shut it off. Shut it off. Yeah. Even more so, it includes the things that you can get away without paying for. The little meannesses like tipping waiters. Do you know how many people go into a thing and leave a table without tipping the waiter or leave a quarter? I'm humiliated when I go in with them. I never go with them again. And they have all sorts of reasons. Well, he was a little bit rude and he didn't bring the water fast enough. And the truth is, they're stingy. That's why they do it. And then we have our people who are very elegant. They say, the only thing worth watching is on public television. I watch it all the time. Well, I want to say, I assume you send them a check every year then. Well, I was going to do it. Well, if you're watching it, send them a check. What the hell should I pay for it? Absolutely. Well, they're going to get around to it. Yeah, send them a check. You don't have to support the station. Just send them a check once a year. And, of course, I cannot let this opportunity pass without saying, your church. Yeah. You can get away without supporting it if you want to. Absolutely. Nobody will track you down. Not the Baptist church, they will. We don't do it. Press you down. But you know it's such a fraud to go someplace and pray and treat for abundance and not support the very thing that you think is going to come through. It's absolutely nonsense. And people will say, well, I'm not quite happy with the minister. Well, then you owe it to yourself to go find one that you are happy with. Everybody owes that to themselves. I have never understood why somebody stays and really complains about the church, and instead of leaving it, they try to get on your board of trustees. It's absolutely perverse. All right, quickly before the red light, more ground rules. Stop criticizing the rich and successful. When you do that, you're criticizing abundance, and what you criticize flies from you. Don't be envious, be interested. You have something to learn from them. Just bite your tongue when you're tempted to do that. Hang around them, watch them, be impressed by them. They know something vis-a-vis money. You may be morally superior, but if you ain't rich, watch them. There's something to learn from. Save money as faithfully as you spend it. People say, I don't make that much. Any amount you make, save some of it. It's an investment in your future. It says to yourself, I've got a future. I don't mean save for a rainy day. So you save for a sunny day. Because you know that as a result of the work you do, life is going to open up for you, and you don't want to be caught in the position of saying, but I don't have anything in my bank to follow this wonderful opportunity with. And I don't care if it's a penny a week. It is not the amount, it's the process, it's the involvement. And last of all, and I tell it to people all the time, it cannot be more important. Never, never, never refuse money. In any form whatsoever, whether it's a meal, whether it's a ride, don't refuse it. People say, well, I don't know. They might be expecting something else. Well, don't give it to them. Never refuse any good thing. You are giving them, when you receive it, you are giving them the opportunity to involve themselves in a creative process and yourself the same opportunity to do it. And if they want something that they're not saying from it, you are giving them the opportunity to learn that that ain't the way you get it. Yeah. Don't do it. Take it. If it makes you feel bad, give it to me. My address is in Creative Thought. Send it right on through. I will find some use for it. All right. Let's do it then. Let's do it then. Let's know together as I leave here. You're going to stay. I'm going to leave. John, I'm going to stay for you. Let's know here that we are valuable people involved in an expensive life experience, and we must be rich. And that thing that made it so to us will make it so through us. All right. We look at money as a new thing, as something that we are obliged to grow in order to fulfill the wonderment of our being. This is the truth, and it's wonderful, and so it is.
For more spiritual content like this, visit scienceofmindarchives.com.